You're now tuned in to Sunday Conversations on Atlanta's Smooth Jazz, 101.1 WJZA, with your host, Jay Nash.
Welcome back to Sunday Conversations. In partnership with the Atlanta Voice newspaper, I'm Jay Nash, and I'm so grateful to have you all tuned into today's show, simply because we're talking suicide prevention. Currently, we have Mr. Walker Tisdale, who is the Director of Suicide Prevention at the Georgia Department of Behavioral Health and Developmental Disabilities. The first half of the show, we were talking about different things you can do. There's a crisis hotline here, Georgia Crisis Access Line. That number is 1-800-715-4225. And Mr. Tisdale encouraged you all to program that number in your phone today. We want you to put that number in your phone, so if anything comes up, whether it's you or your children, a family member, we want you to be right on the spot where it's accessible to you immediately. That number again is 1-800-715-4225. Mr. Tisdale, we were talking about our teens, but I want to move into public figures and adults that are going through suicide or having the attempts or, you know, feeling like, hey, I want to give up. What do we say to those individuals and how can we support them?
Well, this is the thing to keep in mind when you talk about especially adults of, and I'm specifically thinking about suicide definitely impacts adult white males, middle-aged white males by a larger volume, by number.
How do you break that down? Where do you get those statistics from that say that, hey, it is middle-aged white?
Well, actually, we get primarily from health statistics data from our public statewide public health department. But there's also national data that I was referring to earlier mm-hmm. about the 44,000 annual deaths from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And so when we look at Georgia data in particular, we work with our state health department because suicide is during the death certificate. So that's how you document that.
They actually put that on the death certificate?
If there's evidence of it. And it's the imperfect system because, as you can imagine, for many reasons, some religious, some personal, some family members don't always want suicide to be listed on a death certificate.
Yeah.
So for every suicide that has occurred, we're not always 100% sure that it's documented. So it's an imperfect system.
Okay. So that's well, I guess in your favor. That's a good way to, you know, get the data that you need in order for you to find out who's the leading cause. And why are, you said, white middle-aged men?
Correct.
What's going on there that they seem to be the highest?
So when you think about the things that put people at highest risk, so there's themes. Extreme emotional instability around a relationship loss or loss of any kind. It could be a family or a spouse or a caregiver. We're talking extreme pressure from financial issues, bankruptcies, people losing wealth, having their socioeconomics change. We're also seeing unemployment. Sustained unemployment over time can have a great impact on people's ability to be resilient and to come back. And so sometimes when you have chronic medical conditions that people don't see themselves recovering from, can also exacerbate depression. And as I mentioned earlier, untreated mental health issues, everything from bipolar, schizophrenia. And when you have multiple of those things happening at the same time, it can really be a lot for a person to recover from.
Yeah, life change, you know? I mean, we go through life all the time, and wow, that's just so disheartening to know, you know? For Georgia Crisis and Access Line number, definitely put that number in your phone, 24/7, free, and it's the confidential hotline. You want to give out that number one more time?
I do, 1-800-715-4225. And I also, if I can, too, I want to do kind of also underscore some positives that people can do. Building resilience in young people as well as adults is also a great protective factor from suicide. So if you're a parent, a caregiver, or you just have a loved one, an adult loved one, think about, do they have really good independent living skills? Are they able to problem solve? These are the things that help to protect people so that they look at suicide less of an option. When people feel that they have the capacity to recover from a stress or a trauma and they are able to cope with it, they are less likely to consider self-harm.
That's good. That's building. It's staying positive.
Absolutely.
You know? Staying positive is one. Surround yourself around positive people so that they can actually push that positivity in you that, hey, you can deflect the negativity that's coming your way or whatever it is that you're going through. So, you know, hey, be around like-minded people that's going to support you and lift you up. I think that that, too, is so important when going through, you know, loss of a job, you know, like you said, financial status change, mm-hmm. things like that. And what about women? What do you see in women? Can you give us any statistics with that?
One of the things to keep in mind when it comes to death by suicide, men use the most lethal means, firearms, to die by suicide, and women make more attempts at suicide. So while men are more likely to die by suicide by the most lethal mean and to be to complete a suicide, women may have multiple attempts before they complete a suicide. And part of that is with anything that you do over and over again, you get good at. Mm-hmm. And so,
very true.
That's something to keep in mind. And you just mentioned something I also want to underscore about connecting yourself to like-minded people, people who are positive. Social connectedness with family and friends outside of your social media world, but the real life social connectedness is the number one buffer for helping to protect people, staying connected with a network. So if there's someone that you want to check in on, you haven't heard from in a while, or a young person you see by themselves a lot on the school playground, try to connect them to an activity, to other people, to some sort of network to keep them engaged, because that by far is a huge buffer.
Check on your strong friend. Right? You may think people are doing really, really good. You may see them in the light on social media, whatever it may be, but you never know what's going on behind closed doors. So that's really important. After death by suicide has occurred, people are often unsure how to respond to that. What are the most important things to know and do after a death by suicide?
So when a death by suicide has occurred in our field, we call that's an opportunity for a postvention activity. Postvention, you heard of prevention, right? Mm-hmm. To prevent something from occurring. And so when a suicide death has occurred, postvention are those activities to contain what we call the risk of contagion. Because oftentimes when a public death has occurred or someone within your network, people can sometimes get the idea and become fixated with that person's transition. And I'm going through something tough. That wasn't a way out. And I see they got a lot of accolades because we give a lot of attention to death by suicide,
yes.
Right? And so people do see that as an option. So postvention activities, we really strongly support, and we support a lot of organizations who actually do some of this work. But to really to reduce the risk for survivors and those affected, we work with local and state partners and suicide prevention coalitions to go and give information and to physically sit and communicate with families. We have partners with the Georgia Department of Education when a death by suicide has occurred to go into the school. Every school has or should have a school safety plan to prevent what we call contagion. So after a suicide death has occurred, that it doesn't spread and you have 2 and 3 incidents of this. I mentioned earlier the survivor suicide groups. They are always very impactful. I'm always pleased when I go into the community myself and I hear people give testimony about how it helped them. So that's something we continue to do. And as well as grief and bereavement counseling with a lot of providers to give them specialized training specifically in suicide. You'd be surprised at how many psychologists, social workers, licensed professional counselors have a great deal of training, but not necessarily so much in suicide prevention or suicide specific training. So at our agency, that's something that we do, and we support clinicians getting trained specifically in suicide prevention.
Nice. That's good work. You guys are doing an amazing job here in Georgia, and we appreciate you for that. You know, we really do. And when I was looking for someone to come on a show, immediately you all popped up in my mind. You want to make sure that we're taking and we're spreading the word to the masses of people about prevention with suicide. I'm going to put you on the spot here, which you handle yourself really well anyway. And I want you to do a call to action for us here while we're on air right now. What can we do? How do we go about doing it? And, you know, just preventing suicide as a whole and exactly what Georgia Department of Behavioral Health and Developmental Disabilities can do.
One of the things that we do is that we also are a body that's is fortunate to be able to convene meetings on a larger scale. And October 25th and 26th in Augusta, Georgia, we'll be convening a statewide suicide prevention conference, not just for clinicians and educators and policymakers, but also survivors of suicide, for family members. The registration link will be available through our website in the next week or so. But also a call to action that I would encourage, besides putting that phone number into their phones, the 1-800-715-4225. The other thing that I would do is, for Suicide Prevention Awareness Month and every month thereafter, is to make it your business that when you see something, say something. Don't just ignore, because sometimes people will say, I'm not feeling well, or I'm going through something, or we can see it on the person, and yet we glaze over it because we're so busy. Our days are so jam-packed with activities. And yet, if you were to take a moment to interact with someone and just to say, hey, I just want to check in on you, you may be the only person to do that day.
Walker Tisdale, I appreciate you so much. You all can contact them. You want to give out your website address for us one more time?
Absolutely. That is dbhdd.ga.gov, or you can Google Department of Behavioral Health and Developmental Disabilities Suicide Prevention.
Phone number?
The phone number is 800-715-4225 for the Georgia Crisis and Access Line.
All right. You all heard it here first on Sunday Conversations. Thank you so much, Mr. Tisdale. We appreciate you coming on. And thank you so much, Georgia Department of Behavioral Health and Developmental Disabilities. This is Sunday Conversations. I am your host, Jay Nash. Thank you so much for tuning in.
For more info on Sunday Conversations, visit smoothjazzatl.com.